Hey everybody, welcome to a pop culture episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McGeady.
And we just want to remind you, we do have live shows coming up. We're so excited about them. Starting off May 3rd in DC, then we have Chicago, St. Paul, Philly, Atlanta, two shows in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and LA. And we hope to see some of you there.
Please come scream obscenities at us from your seat.
The way Troy describes the show is so funny. People think we're gonna be like pelted with things while we're up there.
Like it's literally a like a Jello wrestling moment or something.
Surprise, if you come to a live show, we actually just wrestle. Like it's no blinds.
Just a kiddie pool on a stage full of pudding.
I just want to start with the Royals. I know some people hate when we talk about the Royals. I know other people have said everything I've said is wrong when this is all opinion based. So use timestamps if you don't want to hear about it. But everyone's obviously talking about Kate. And then there was a picture that came out on UK's Mother's Day, and it was just a mess. Like, it looked so bad. Like, from little Louis's fingers to Charlotte's shoes. Like there was something wrong with every single part of this. And the Kensington Palace came out with a statement that says, it says, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. So listen, you're telling me that Kate was supposed to be hospitalized until about Easter, but she's up on her laptop using Adobe Photoshop?
She's zooming in and getting rid of pores.
It's crazy, and I don't believe that this is some like picture of her face from like a May or May of last year magazine cover, whatever anyone's saying. I don't think it's that. I think it was like AI generated. And I think the Royals just continue to dig like a deeper hole for themselves. They're not doing themselves any favors.
As someone who doesn't follow this, I'm gonna say that I have always believed that they use, you know, those theories or conspiracies that they use like Charlie's Angels masks, basically like those rubber masks that people use in like CIA movies. I believe that they've used them. I'm not kidding. Sometimes the faces are just too weird.
I agree. I have no idea what to think about the Royals, but everyone's talking about it, obviously. I do think something's going on with Kate. Pippa's like vacationing in the Caribbean, and I would think that if her sister was in like grave conditions, then like maybe she wouldn't be doing that. But we're also now not talking about like Prince Charles and his cancer, and there's a lot going on. I just think like the Royals should stop. Because this isn't helping again.
Well, to add to your Royals thing, only because I just watched it, it's not new or anything, but I just finished the Netflix Jimmy Savile documentary that came out. I want to say it was like 2 years ago now. And it was, I really honestly think that every American has a responsibility to watch this documentary. Because there's no way that we as Americans could really wrap our heads around Jimmy Savile, like his fame or like his impact on UK culture, like on the royal family and like just everything. And I don't even know if there's a person in America that we could compare him to. Like he is like if Ryan Seacrest or like Dick Clark, maybe would be a better example, was as famous as Michael Jackson.
Oh my God.
Like a radio host DJ being literally as famous as a Beatle or Elvis or Michael, like pandemonium, people fainting in the streets. And like his access, like he, if you know anything about him, you know that he was like obsessed with charity work and like building hospitals and shit. And it turns out he was actually just like building hospitals to molest children in them and molest like people who were like nonverbal. He had over 500 victims.
Oh my God.
He was into necrophilia, so he was into like having sex with dead bodies. He claims he was really good friends with the royals because he had like convinced them that he was this like charming whatever. And he claimed that he was like the last person that had access to Princess Di's body, and that he like fondled her, and he was like proud of saying it. Like crazy, mind-blowing shit. Like, we have not had a scandal in this country even remotely close to him. Harvey is like nothing compared to him, even Diddy. So yeah, if you guys haven't seen that, it's really, really worth watching.
We got a bunch of DMs about Drake Bell being on Quiet on Set. And Troy and I talk a lot. We talk a ton. And somebody actually sent us a screen recording of our Dan Schneider episode, which is crazy because I say, do you think it happened to Drake Bell? And that's why he is like, what happened? And Troy agrees. And he was like, we have to wait for the documentary. Welp.
Your witches have arrived.
I hope, the Drake Bell of it all is honestly tough. It's a tough pill to swallow because he was allegedly hooking up with like young girls. And it's a tough one. There's no perfect victim. I should start with that. But, having Drake Bell, who also did this, is tough.
Well, it goes back to like a conversation that you and I used to have all the time of like chicken or the egg, you know, like how do you, like Usher, for example, if Usher is an abuser, how do you like reconcile that knowing that he was also abused, you know? And like it's a cycle. Like it really is just further proof that it's a cycle. Like you said, there's no perfect victim. If we can end the cycle in some form, or like, you know, we wouldn't have to have these conversations, but it is unfortunately a cycle. People who abuse people were abused. It's like bullies, you know, like kids in school that are being bullied are like being abused at home typically, you know. But ironically, so before we started recording, I went back in our Leonardo DiCaprio notes and I was just like kind of skimming around to look for mentions of Drake Bell. And I found this tweet. I don't know if you remember this, but I read this tweet in our Leo episode from this user named Obscure Nick. And his tweet is from 2021. And at the time, it went viral, but people were like not sure if it was true or if he was trolling. So now this is crazy hearing this now, but he said, thread, an anonymous source close to Drake Bell's family has come forward to me. The producer that allegedly molested Drake Bell, that was mentioned in a previous thread, is named Brian Peck. And it says Brian Peck is a dialogue coach who worked on Dan Schneider's shows, such as All That, The Amanda Show. In 2004, he was convicted on lewd acts against a child and oral copulation of a person under 16. The identity of the person was sealed. And it says, but what we did know is that it was an actor. The person claims that the anonymous minor was Drake Bell, who came forward. Drake Bell and Brian Peck worked on The Amanda Show together, and Brian Peck was the dialogue coach. And yeah, there's all these like, oh, and it also says, now this is obviously very alleged, but he says, when the news broke about Dan Schneider being let go from Nickelodeon in March of 2018, the person had a feeling Dan or someone on his team would do something to try and taint Drake Bell's reputation. This source claims that when Drake Bell's ex-girlfriend Melissa came out last year accusing him of verbal and physical abuse, it's alleged that she was paid by Dan or someone close to Dan's team to reveal the information so that Drake's reputation would be destroyed further. And the reason behind destroying Drake's reputation is similar to why certain people in the industry went out of their way to destroy Amanda Bynes's reputation so that they have no credibility when things come out. Now, I'm not saying that I believe that she lied, but it's just interesting that that was from 2021.
I got chills as you read that. I mean, the set of the Amanda Show must actually have been like hell on earth.
Yeah. It's like always mentioned.
Always.
of all the shows, like always mention the Amanda show. They must have just been obsessed with her. Like she obviously, with the way that they propelled her and put her on a pedestal and stuff, it's like they wouldn't do that out of like kindness, you know? But no, I thought that was pretty insane. And I thought it was interesting if you look at the responses, it's like a lot of people at that time being like, I don't know if I believe it, blah, blah, blah. But then there are people who went back to that tweet after Drake came forward and they were like, oh my God, like this is so crazy to read this again. You were right all along. And I don't even know who the fuck Obscure Nick is, but thanks, Nick. Ariana Grande is on a press cycle right now because she's music and a movie and all of these things happening. Have you listened to any of Ariana's new music?
So I have, but I'm also aware that I'm a hater. I'm an Ariana hater. So like, but it was funny, like I was listening to some of her old songs and I was like, wait, I couldn't understand the words she was saying. Like, when did she stop enunciating words? And like for this album, I know she's a perfect singer. I know she has like almost like an AI voice, I think we've said. But like, I don't feel emotion, and it sounds like one long song to me.
Yeah, I will say I liked the album more than I expected to. I was vibing to it. I was like listening to it walking around the city yesterday, and I like it. I will say that an interesting thing about Ariana Grande is like she's been like six different versions of herself at this point. She's had a bunch of different dialogues or dialects. I mean, she's had a bunch of different voices. Her mannerisms have changed throughout the years. Like she kind of like morphs into these different people. And I was watching her interview, her Apple Music interview with Zayn, and I was just like, who is this young lady?
Yeah.
Is this young lady talking like this and enunciating every single word? I was like, who is she? Like, who is this now? The blonde her is like talks like Microsoft Michelle. I was just crazy. Like, I've never heard her speak the way she's speaking right now. And then I had to remind myself, oh yeah, she kind of like changes her whole personality with an album cycle.
Well, I feel like she's finally leaning into what you've always hoped, which is an Imogen Heap fan.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's why I liked it.
I really think, I mean, again, her songs are fine to me, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think it's just, I don't think she's authentic, and I know what people are gonna say to me. You don't need to say it in the comments because I know, but it's hard for me to hear her like connecting to her music.
Oh, for sure. I no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I try, it's like even when I know that the songs are good, I just don't feel anything. Like I just don't feel anything.
We sound like American Idol judges right now. It's
I
like,
know.
you're perfect. I need to feel more from you. Meanwhile, she sells like a billion albums. What the fuck do I know?
Full J-Lo. I'm like, it gave me goosies. I got goosies all over. But no, I will say I loved her new music video because Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, as you guys know, is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I just saw it in the theater a few days ago. I love that movie, and her reference to like the video is so good. And I will always accept any kind of Evan Peters cameo. Like it was, I really liked the music video a lot.
Speaking of new music, Perry Edwards just announced that she's having a solo single, and she's, of course, from Little Mix. I got to the Little Mix game very late, but I'll always be furious that the United States didn't allow them because they can't let go of the Spice Girls. I'm like, guys, it's been long enough. We can have another British girl group, I promise. But I'm just excited to hear Perry, and I've always thought Zayn did her so dirty, even though that was what, 10 years ago. I'm still like, fuck you, Zayn.
I mean, now that we've seen those text messages released from Zayn, we know how he likes to treat a gal.
Right. Very
Lord
that.
Jesus. Lord Jesus, we can just assume, my God.
Yeah. So whenever Perry Edwards has new music, if you're in the United States, please stream her because I would love to see her live. If you're going to do it for anyone, please do it for me.
I don't know shit about her, and I don't know any songs by that band, but I'll stream.
I think you would like Little Mix.
I think I would too. People have said that to me. I've had a lot of people message me and say, like, you really need to get into Little Mix. I'm overwhelmed by it.
They're just very fun. Like they're a fun girl group, and then they get like a lot of drama, which is also fun.
Well, again, speaking of new music, we got a Beyonce album announcement like 40 minutes ago.
Well, I missed the announcement, but I did see her and Dolly might be partnering on a song.
I am so excited for this. I really am. Like, I'm really, really, really excited. And I will say, so the album is going to officially now be called Cowboy Carter. And I really, so she released this photo of a saddle with like a horse ribbon on it that says Cowboy Carter. And it's almost my vibes. It's almost the vibes that I'm like praying for. It's almost the Marlboro Man dusty vibe that I'm hoping for from her. Like, I just want to see Beyonce covered in dirt. Like, I want to see her covered in dirt. I want some good black and white photos of her like on a horse. Some good action shots. Like, I want real cowgirl. I'm into the whole glam cowgirl thing. I am a homosexual. Of course, I love a rhinestone and a bedazzle and all those things, but I would live to see her like really on a fucking like a just like dirty. I want to see dirty Beyonce.
Totally. And like real country music, you know, she's going to give it to us. This is for everyone who liked Daddy Lessons.
Really is. It's like, and I'm excited to see her explore different kinds of country.
I agree. And like I said, Jolene, Dolly Parton, I'm like talking to my cat. Dolly Parton mentioned that she asked to use like parts of Jolene for a song. And in my head, immediately, I'm like, CMA Awards. Or CMT Awards, like they're gonna perform together. Country music's gonna really lose their mind because obviously Dolly Parton is like the president of country music. She's higher than the president. She's like the Pope.
I would cry. I would absolutely lose my shit if they performed together. That would be so, oh, that'd be so fun. And it will be interesting to see if she does end up. I hope she performs at the CMAs, and I hope that they're as mad about it this year as they were the last time so that they can get the fuck over it. I hope that she wins all the things just to piss everybody off.
Country music is like, please, Carrie Underwood, put out new music so we can just have you win.
Yeah, please, Jesus, Barbie, please.
I have to say, if you're not watching Jersey Shore Family Vacation, you should be. That show is still so funny. And we talk so much Vanderpump. I was watching Jersey Shore and I was like, this shit is still so funny because, like, they still get so drunk. They lean into being silly and they don't mind like coming off corny. But then there's Angelina who's gonna fight literally everyone, including production. It's just so fun. And now that Sam's back, I was watching an episode, last week's episode, and the way that she like reads Angelina down, I'm like, she could be a housewife.
Always been a Sam apologist.
Me too.
Always. Even though, like, they have said that she was like so evil to production and stuff, and like she was the actual bully. I don't care. Like, she's still the sweetest bitch I've ever met.
And there's one part where Angelina started like talking shit about her and she was on speakerphone. Sammy just grabbed the phone and was like, "Hey, you said my name?" I'm like, "Sammy brought such life back into this show and I'm so thankful." But if you're not watching Jersey Shore Family Reunion, you should.
You know, I am not watching it. And the other day I saw a commercial for it and I was like, God, like, they're really still doing this.
And they're still so funny. Like, I am laughing out loud on my couch. I mean, granted, it's after like a nightly edible or whatever, but it's just fun. It's good old-fashioned fun. Mike, the situation's still hysterical.
Well, I'm still finding Vanderpump unbearable. So maybe I will watch Jersey Shore just to like, because I'm like having a really hard time getting through that show still.
Vanderpump's brutal, and I've been rewatching season six lately just to have something on in the background. What an incredible reality show that was.
You know, it's really sad because at this point, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when you let something go on too long and then like it's better to just bow out when it's still like decent. And I do believe that that show is gonna, it's gonna end with like an abysmally bad, horrendous season. Like an un, it's gonna end on its lowest note.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way Ariana should come back. Like, James Kennedy can only hold it together for how much longer?
And then this whole like Sheena just struggling. So, first of all, I would like to say on record, as someone who has been calling Sheena the Gretchen Wieners of reality television for 10 years, her most Gretchen Wieners moment, that phone call. Oh, I was like, when she literally said, like, I'm the one that always had the dream of going on Dancing with the Stars. And she knew that. But I still even went to the taping because I'm such a good friend. I was like, oh my God, are other people hearing this right now? Like, are other people hearing the gift that is Sheena? Oh my God.
How about when she was like, I can't hate him for you? And the thing is, I kind of get what Sheena's trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, she was really close with Raquel. She was close with Tom. Like, she did lose two friends, but you don't cry about it to Ariana.
Read the
Like,
room.
that's what Lala's there for.
Yeah, like she just doesn't know. And she's too weak to just stand on what she wants to do, which is be friends with Tom. So she has to make it as theatrical and dramatic as physically possible. And just, you know, I'm so tortured by my decision, Ariana, to be his friend. I'm so tortured. It's painful for me, really.
How about when she was like, I can't hate him for you? I'm like, Troy, you could tell me a guy was mean to you 10 years ago and like you forgave him. I will hate him for you.
It's so hard for me. She's like, oh, is it? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, girl, you are. Oh my God. And Katie had like a literal glimmer in her. Like, she, Katie is enjoying this a little too much.
I love Katie so much. And like the look her and Ariana gave to each other when Sheena was like, I don't know, Tom seems di or whatever she said about Tom. I feel like Katie and Ariana were like, we know what edit we're about to get.
Yeah. I even went to the Dancing with the Stars taping because I'm such a good friend. Sheena.
Well, since we're talking reality TV, did you finish Traitors?
So I didn't finish it, but I heard that the finale, like, I know that the finale was super disappointing, that people were really upset by the finale.
So, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the finale of Traitors. Great show. I think it was really good. I think this season, it really did stop the momentum, though. I don't know if you got to like the campfire part where, like, instead of a round table, they were lighting flames to
Oh,
be like,
okay,
who's out next? I actually think that really stalled the show because there was no murder that episode. And people obviously want to see like a murder, a banishment, a murder, like that kind of thing. And I was pretty mad. Okay. I was pretty mad at the finale. But at the end of the day, if MJ really wanted to win, she could have been like, Trishelle, I'll put CT down.
Right.
She's just not a player like that, you know? And she wasn't working with them. Honestly, MJ got it wrong every single time.
MJ was sort of the Mrs. Magoo, if you will, of like she was just sort of like running into walls and then found herself
Her
at
and
the.
Sheree both.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was funny when she got like murdered and she was like, oh, but Phaedra was the traitor. She's like still confused. I'm like, you don't know where you are.
Adrian said, or Sheree said, I'd like to vote so and so off the island. They're like,
Yeah.
wait. That's not this show. It's so.
Overall, really great show. Is there anyone like any reality stars you hope to see next season? Because for me, top of my list, Coral from The Challenge.
Oh, yeah, Coral would be amazing. Oh, I mean, I gotta say, I would love to see some more Housewives because I love seeing the Housewives in this, like. This environment, it's just so opposite of like what we're used to. I would love to see like a Portia Williams. I think Portia would be great. I think Candy would be really good on this show, and she's like kind of like made for it. Because she did Big Brother and she did very well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she didn't win, obviously, but she did really good. About who else?
I think Luann would be good, but she couldn't be a traitor because she would play too much into it.
Luann would have to be in the most lax position so that she can just fucking vape. She doesn't need any extra responsibility. Farrah Abraham.
I actually wouldn't mind to see Brianna from Teen Mom. Like her and her sister would be hysterical on Traitors.
Oh, yeah, they would be really good. And Jimmy. Now I'm rooting for Jimmy to go on Traitors. So I just saw Love Lies Bleeding. I saw it like 2 nights ago. And like, you know, I love an A24 movie, so I'm gonna go see an A24 movie no matter what. Was it the best movie I've ever seen? No. But it was super entertaining. And like, Kristen Stewart is just such an incredible fucking actor. Like, she really is so good. And like, whenever I'm watching her on screen, because there were so many scenes where she had to be like super emotional and like, you know, she's just so good at like those faces and like crying and like all of that, the Kristen Stewart stuff, you know? And I was thinking, God, she must have been so affected when she was younger by people saying she wasn't a good actor because they didn't like Twilight. And like she had to fight that stigma for so many years that she couldn't act, even though she is actually really good in Twilight. I'm sorry. Like she's good in it anyway.
It's just a bad movie.
Yeah, like you can't help that. It's a silly movie. But Love Lies Bleeding was like really entertaining, though. It was fun to watch. It was a good, the great music. She was just so good. And like, I don't know. I just really love like this era of her, like where she's like, she just seems so confident and so like in comparison to like old school Kristen Stewart that like could not wait to get off of a red carpet and just look like she was so miserable at like the MTV Movie Awards or whatever. Now she just seems so chill with everything.
It's really empowering to see how she just took control of the narrative. Like she took control of her life and was like, no, I'm an actress, I'm gay, and I'm hot, and you're gonna deal with it.
And like you're gonna know as much as I want you to know about my relationships now because I've been in like a teen beat pop magazine thing, and now I'm just gonna do whatever. I'm gonna smoke weed on porches. I'm gonna date men. I'm gonna date women. I'm gonna yacht. I'm gonna do whatever I want. But yeah, it was great. It was really good. I highly recommend seeing it. It wasn't perfect, but it was like I just fucking love her, and it was really hot seeing her as like a cool let there's a fisting scene.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty steamy, if you will. It was good.
I actually saw a movie that's not in my wheelhouse, but it's in yours. Have you seen Thanksgiving yet?
Oh yeah, I saw it on Thanksgiving.
So I finally watched it as someone who's from the Plymouth area. I had to see what was going on. What a movie. What a time that was. But I will say the twist at the end got me. I mean, I watched the movie like through my fingers, but who the killer was, fast forward if nobody wants to hear. But when it was Patrick Dempsey, I went, shh, like I gasped so loud.
He was really good in it too.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah, it was very like campy, silly, fun, really gory. I actually thought, even though she didn't really have much to do, I thought Addison Rae was like pretty good in it too.
We need to stop the Addison Rae hate because Addison Rae is a star, and that's okay.
I mean, she's the moment. Whether we want her to be or not, she is
And
the
she
moment.
seems sweet. Like, I don't, I've never, I've heard terrible things about her parents, but not her.
Yeah, she does seem really sweet and very she just has like honestly she's got it factor. She's magnetic. She sold me when she, those pop shots of her reading Britney's book was like a real turning point for me. I was like, "Oh, she's like one of the girls. Like she's like giving Heidi Montag moment right now."
Love it.
Actually speaking of her, I wanted to talk about this Charli XCX versus Camila Cabello thing because I'm obsessed with it. So Something that I don't know why I don't talk about more is the my love for Charli XCX. She is always on my like end of year list. Listen to her the most. I am literally obsessed with this young lady. Like, it's sick. Her new song is insane. Von Dutch is so good. The music video is so good and so current and so like it's just so good. But if you missed it, so Camila Cabello has dyed her hair blonde and has decided that she is in a new era. And she's been posting all these pictures on her Instagram, like these kind of like grungy, like euphoria, if you will, photos. Very like not her typical style. And she releases this song. She releases this song called I Love It. Oops, sorry. Sorry, thought I was talking to her. She releases this new song, and it sounds exactly like a song that Charli XCX not only has already released, but it sounds exactly like her whole vibe, her whole sound. It's like hyper pop. Like it sounds like a Charli XCX song to the point that she's literally repeating. It's the exact same song with different words.
Oh my God.
It is identical. Like it's almost laughable how much it sounds the same. So Camila Cabello posted it on her Instagram or on maybe TikTok, and she posted a clip of her like lip syncing the song and like whatever. And then Charli XCX posted a clip of her doing the same thing to her song, just to make the point that it sounds exactly the same. Very like Madonna singing Born This Way on tour vibes, to be a cunt. And I'm obsessed with this. I am absolutely obsessed with this. And the girls are all fighting. The girls are absolutely up in arms about it. And sides are being picked. I didn't know Camila Cabello had such devoted fans.
So these two have actually hated each other since Taylor's Reputation tour.
Really?
Because
Wow.
Charli XCX was the opener, and then it was Camila, then it was Taylor. And Charli XCX has said like terrible things about the Reputation tour, being like, I hated performing to kids. There are a lot of like alleges that Camila was like very much on drugs during the rep tour, and Charli XCX would get like pissed at her constantly for missing her mark or whatever. But I think this feud goes way back.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Oh my God, I love it even more. I'm obsessed. I mean, people are like, and then I've seen a lot of people commenting and being like Charli XCX didn't invent hyperpop and you guys are so dramatic. I'm sorry, the song is identical. And no, she didn't invent hyperpop, but she's like at the forefront of it. She's the one, she's the girl that people are copying that are doing hyperpop at the moment.
And I feel like she gets like not enough credit for who she is. Charli XCX never gets the credit she deserves.
I agree. I totally agree. But then I also kind of feel like it's like makes her cooler that she'll never be like she's always gonna kind of like a cult classic as she is one to say. She's a cult classic. She really is. But I'm obsessed with this. I absolutely love it. And I just think that Camila Cabello is so camp and such a ridiculous human being. Any news involving her, I'd get obsessed with.
You know, you're right, because she used to really annoy me, and now I'm just like, what is she up to?
She's just such a silly celebrity to me.
She's
Just ridiculous.
always dating gay men.
Yeah. I love it. So the whole point of me bringing that up was because so Charli XCX like a week ago did an album release at the Boiler Room in New York. You could buy tickets to it and just go, and it was like this basically like a club event. So like Julia Fox was like DJing and like all these people were there. But the most important person was Addison Rae, who was there just getting her entire life. She was throwing her hair around and twerking and grinding. She was literally dancing like the little girl in Mean Girls to Milkshake. That was Addison Rae at this event. And it was so, and I think that she's on a new Charli XCX song on her album.
She's like so excited she doesn't have to hang out with Blink 182 anymore.
Right.
Who I love, no shade to Blake.
We are millennials.
As you guys know, I have two cats. I love them so much. Jolene and Gale, lights in my life. I would do anything for them. And your pet is one of a kind too, and so is their journey. While every playful moment is a memory in the making, sometimes our cats and dogs get a little too good at getting into trouble. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. This episode is also sponsored by Nutrafol. Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one size fits all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BLINDS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code blinds. Again, that's Nutrafol.com, promo code blinds.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Rocket Money. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought that I had a small number of subscriptions. I cannot believe it when they showed me I was paying for tons of subscriptions each month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery service, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on ones I forget. The thing about these subscriptions is that a lot of them will say like they're free for like a day, especially on your phone. You'll have like 7 hours of subscription being free, and then you're charged $100 for the year or something out of nowhere. It's a nightmare. And I am one to start a free trial. I'm not gonna lie about that. I love a trial. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it in a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/blinds. That's rocketmoney.com/blinds. rocketmoney.com/blinds.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize.
It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So I've talked a little bit about this past season of Love is Blind, but someone on TikTok just came out with a story. Her handle is Ginger Snaps with 2 S's and an underscore. And she allegedly dated Jeremy, who was on the show. And I think, Troy, you and I said, we've never met a good Jeremy. So, trigger warning for this story. But this woman alleges that she moved in with Jeremy when they were in Florida. They ended up moving to North Carolina together. And in Florida, they got in a bad fight. She got scared of him. She doesn't have family. So she went to like his stepmom's house. And his stepmom actually said, you know, go away. She's here with me. She's safe. But you need to cool off. So this woman, Ginger Snaps, and Jeremy then moved to North Carolina. During this time, she gets a sales job. So she's out more. And one time when she's at a happy hour with work, Jeremy shows up. And he's like, what are you still doing out? And she's like, why are you here? So she goes home. They get into a really big fight. She's in like pajamas because they're getting ready to go to bed. And she's trying to get away from him. And this is all alleged again. Goes into the guest room. It goes to shut the door. Jeremy puts his foot down. And when he opens the door, he has a gun pointed at her head.
Oh my God.
And she said he like dropped it, or there was some kind of like scuffle between them. And she was able to get around him, get out of the house and run. So while she's hiding from him in their condo complex, she calls the police. They're like, so there's an officer going to the house, meet him there. She gets there, sees Jeremy's car's gone, and meets the police, lets them in. And they ask her, you know, does he have any other weapons? And she's like, I know he has a few guns. I don't really know much more than that. So the cops search the house. And they ask her, is he a drug dealer? And does he have like tactical training? And she was like, I don't know why. And allegedly this guy, Jeremy, who was just on Love is Blind, had guns hidden like behind toilets and behind the couch and in like scary places, obviously. I think if a gun's not locked away, it's like terrifying, but to have it like such easy access. And Jeremy allegedly was also like engaged when he was getting ready to go on Love is Blind. Like there's so many things with this guy. And even on the show, like he cheats on his Love is Blind fiance with another contestant that like he originally wanted to pick. It's crazy. She has 4 parts up. I haven't checked today. I don't know if there is a 5th part yet. But she basically ends with her giving her statement to the police. But it's like Netflix, what the fuck? Because last season they cut out a couple and the guy was allegedly like abusing the woman. And I'm like, when does production have to be like, hey, cameras down, you know?
Also, like, are they doing no background checks on these people whatsoever? Like, I mean, you can say what you want about Bravo. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, there are people go on their shows and behave poorly on the show sometimes. But, like, they do background check them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the very least. Like, I feel like these Netflix shows, like, they just literally, they're, like, walking through prisons and plucking people for their shows.
It's crazy. I mean, I don't know how this show can continue with all the lawsuits that have come out of it. And, like, stories, not just lawsuits, but even, like, stories about the contestants who've been on the show.
Yeah, I do wonder about like the future of, I don't know. And especially because it's not like Well, see, then I was about to answer my own question because I was going to say it is, on the other hand, like a wildly cheap show to produce, costs like nothing, and it like really makes them a lot of money.
Right, they have to maybe pay the contestants a little bit, and that's really it.
They surely don't have to buy groceries because the people aren't being fed.
No, in the last fucking resort they were at this past season, in other seasons it's been like very nice and it seems like it's private. No, this one was like a public resort and you see random people walking around them. It was giving low budget.
That is crazy. That's one thing I would just be absolutely terrified to do, is go on a Netflix reality show. Like, going on reality TV is one thing, it's like scary. But Netflix seems like they're trying to like kill people.
It's crazy. I know a girl, she's actually from Carver. She was on Squid Games, like the Squid Games reality show. And I guess that first challenge where it was like the stop and go challenge was like 4 hours long and they were in a cold room.
Couldn't do it.
No.
Do it. I
And
just
I
don't.
know the woman who won, it was like February or whatever, or like she's like, we finished wrapping in May and I still haven't got my $4 billion or whatever it was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. They're like, sorry, the prize isn't real. It's in the fine print. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed Squid Games. I just really quickly wanted to mention, because like this just happened, so there's like not really a lot of news out about it. But Neve Campbell has officially announced that she is going to be a part of Scream 7. I am absolutely gagged. I had a feeling in my spirit that this was going to happen, especially after them letting go of everybody and everybody quitting, and the whole like drama of the Scream cast. I was like, there's no other option but to bring back Neve Campbell and have her save this damn franchise. So I just want to really quickly read what she wrote on her Instagram. She posted a photo of the script. Okay, so she said, "Hi all, I'm so excited to announce this news. Sydney Prescott is coming back. It's always been such a blast and an honor to get to play Sydney in the Scream movies. My appreciation for these films and for what they have meant to me has never waned. I'm very happy and proud to say that I've been asked in the most respectful way to bring Sydney back to the screen, and I cannot be more thrilled." Well, actually, I could. While I've been so incredibly lucky to make these films with both the master of horror, Wes Craven, and the wonderfully talented Matt and Tyler team, I've dreamt for many years of how amazing it would be to make one of these movies with Kevin Williamson at the helm. And now it's happening. Kevin Williamson is going to direct Scream 7. This was his baby, and it's his brilliant mind that dreamt up this world. Kevin is not just an inspiration as an artist, but has been a dear friend for many years. To the amazing Scream fans, I hope that you are as excited as I am. See you on set. I almost cried reading it. I'm just so fucking excited. And I am really excited that Kevin Williamson is going to direct it. Like, that will be so cool to be able to see. Like she said, this is his vibe, it's his world. He created all of this. It'll be cool to see what his idea is for like a final girl that's like this far into this franchise. So all is right in the world of Scream. We are happy. I can rest easy.
You're so cute. You're smiling like so big.
I'm literally so happy.
So, Odell Beckham Jr. and Kim Kardashian are soft launching their relationship for the umpteenth time on TMZ. Apparently, they were at an Oscars party together. I don't know why they're trying to get us to care about this couple. And I mean, we talked about this not that long ago. It's like they keep just putting out headlines to see if anyone cares. And then they're like, okay, take it back.
You know, this is going to sound like I'm just being a hater, and I'm really not. Like, I actually really do mean this. Kim's in such a flop era to me. Like, she is in such a flop era, and things really just have not, they have not really been the same for her since she started this whole journey of trying to like discover her own style and all of this stuff. Like, she's had some moments. But like for the most part, Kim is Floptina right now. Like from the between the Balenciaga and like all of this, just like this relationship, it's like this is so not exciting. And she, you know it's not exciting because, like you said, they've been trying to soft launch it fucking forever and nobody cares. And when we care about a Kim Kardashian relationship, we don't hide it. We let it be known that we care a great deal. And this is just not hitting. Like, I think that she's in a real floundering, kind of like fishtailing moment of her career where she like doesn't know what to do to really, really hold the public's attention like she used to.
Totally. And it's not like Odell Beckham Jr. is in his prime anymore.
No.
People are always like, oh, he just gets hurt, but he's very good looking, but just gets hurt all the time. Actually, I added the very good looking part, but yeah.
Now, if this was like 2017 or something, we would be going berserk.
When he may have been dating Chloe, like, I think it's too soon. People still remember that he was like maybe dating Chloe or Kendall at one point. It hasn't been long enough.
Yeah, it's just it's not giving. And I know that I said this already, but just even like her style, like you can really see how much of a mess Team Kim is right now based on just the style evolution and the fact that like there's been no, she has not evolved at all. And I don't know, it just seems like every time she goes out recently, it's just a lot of like, all right, Kim's doing that again. Kim's wearing that again. Another Balenciaga moment, another head to toe nylon moment with gloves. Okay. Like, it's just like, girl, like we've been doing this now for so long. How many years ago was it that she wrapped herself up in Balenciaga caution tape? Like, it's been a long time that we've been doing this Balenciaga thing. Aren't we tired?
Well, you know what it is. Marilyn Monroe's haunting her from the dress incident.
All she hears is Marilyn's giggle in her giant empty marble home.
You know that shit echoes.
Somebody on TikTok, I don't remember who it was, but he said that Kim Kardashian's house is the only house that's ever looked like it was built with the intention to be haunted. And
That's so.
it's so true. Her house gives me so much anxiety. It like scares me.
I could not step that in the sphere. I couldn't step foot in Sphere Rose.
Should we talk about the Oscars?
Let's end with this one, I guess, right?
What'd you think of it this year?
To be honest, I watched maybe half of it. It's award season's too long now. It's way too drawn out. It's way too long. And it's like, how are you gonna push the Oscars a month at like later than it usually or used to be?
Right.
But not change the dates of when movies can be like in, I don't know, I'm gonna say inserted, voted for, whatever, because Iron Claw could have made it.
Me and Zac Efron agree. And then they had the nerve to show him in like a compilation video from Iron Claw. I was like, you guys are literally wild. Like you're on one. Yeah, this was a rare season where I watched the entire thing live.
Oh.
I watched all 7 hours of Jimmy Kimmel's Knock Knock jokes live.
Is he usually that bad? Like, do his jokes usually fall that flat?
Yes.
Oh, I guess like I've never noticed it, but like the way he just kept going in on Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my God.
And I don't love the way Robert Downey Jr. accepted his Oscar, just like no one likes, you know what I mean? But like when you're a recovering addict who very publicly was like an addict, you know, and to have the host just continuously be like, oh, and this, oh, and that, and oh, and this. And he's like, you're a little on the nose. Like he's literally hitting his nose, being like, come on, dude.
Like, okay, leave me out of it now, girl. No, yeah, I do not. I don't know if I've ever in my life truly, genuinely laughed at anything Jimmy Kimmel has ever said. He's just a real like he's like a middle American, like he makes jokes for, you know, the ladies coming home from work in Utah and it's 8 p.m. and they need their show. Like, it's just not like. His humor is just so lame to me, but he was like fine. He's just like typical award show host bullshit. I will say, speaking of hosts, I don't know if you caught any videos of Laverne Cox. On the red carpet?
So not this one, but I did watch her on the Grammys, I believe. Oh, congratulations, Vanessa Hudgens, friend of the pod. We need to congratulate her on her pregnancy. But yeah, Laverne Cox, I've seen her on like other red carpets. I didn't see her on the Oscars, but like, understand she's beautiful. She's stunning. Cannot interview. It's like Ashley Graham.
Was like, I ended up going on X to see if people were talking about it, because I was like, are the girls talk, is she drunk, like what is going on with look Miss Laverne? She was not doing a great job at hosting. It was like really painful. Yeah, gorgeous gowns, but yeah. As far as the awards go, I was very, very, very excited for Divine from the Holders. I just saw that recently because they brought it back to theaters. It was my favorite movie of 2023. It was her performance in that movie was insane. So had me in. You would love the Holdovers.
I'll watch it for next week's episode.
You would absolutely love that movie. Like, it's like gonna be my Christmas movie now. It's so good. Oh my God, it was so emotional. She was incredible. I loved her speech. I love that she
She looked
started.
great.
She looked so pretty. And I like that she started the bit of like, you're not supposed to thank your publicist, but, and then everybody started doing it.
I thought Ryan was really funny with I'm Just Ken. I thought I was gonna really hate the performance. And of course, the whole time I'm like, he could have been in Backstreet Boys.
I
Like,
know, I think sounded good too.
so fun and like just like effortless. It was kind of like an effortless thing. And I don't know, I thought he did really good. Billie Eilish and Finneas really bother me. They like really make me uncomfortable and I can't stop. Like, honestly, I think I kind of checked out a little bit after her performance because I understand Billie's so talented. I get it. But like, I don't need her to sing her songs every March. And I feel so mean saying it.
Well, Barbie has been a lot. It has been a year. Like, it's been a lot. I'm exhausted of the Barbie of it all. Like, I was like, God damn, she sounds so beautiful, but like, I really don't want to hear this goddamn song again. My Lord have mercy, protect me and shepherd me from it. I don't want it anymore. I'm done. I'm sick of seeing Margot Robbie wearing pink. I was so excited to see her wearing something so opposite. Because it's like good for you not having to wear a damn pink bow on this carpet. Like, I'm ready to put Barbie to rest. I'm really, even Ryan singing I'm Just Ken, I was like, this is great, but I'm really, really done with this whole gag.
No way I think I liked it so much because it could have happened on the VMAs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And he was super effortless. He just like, I was like, oh, he's just, I guess you can take the boy out of the hammer pants, but you can't take the hammer pants out of the young man.
Yeah, I don't know what they could even do to make the Oscars more exciting because I thought like bringing out the supporting actresses was cool. I thought that was great, but like not
Love them.
enough to pull people in. And yeah, I don't know. They need to like make it how it used to be because I feel like it used to go Grammys, Super Bowl, Oscars in that row, in that like month span. But waiting all the way till March is a long time when you start hearing about these movies in like September, October.
It is a lot, and especially because it's like, how many more award show jokes can you even make about Oppenheimer? Like, oh my God. And also, I think that I said on this show that I saw Oppenheimer and it wasn't my vibe, and I was one of those movies that I watched knowing that it was a good movie that just wasn't for me. But with that being said, I could watch a Cillian Murphy award season every day for the rest of my life. I am so charmed by his smile. So polite. I love that when he went on stage to win his award, he like shook every single hand. He's just so kind.
I agree. I hope he's not rotted. Even though, like, he looks, I understand he's beautiful, but to me, something about him gives like creepy thin man from Charlie's Angels.
Ah, that's such a good comparison. Because he's very uncanny. He has uncanny valley vibes. He almost sometimes looks like his face is a mask.
Totally. Like him in Red Eye haunts me to this day.
Yeah. But I enjoyed him. I was a little annoyed to see Oppenheimer winning literally everything. That was annoying. But what I will say is that all of it was made up for with Emma Stone winning for Poor Things, because she was so incredible in that fucking movie. And it made me really, I really liked the costume designer for their movie that won. She was really cool. And I liked that she wore a Poor Things inspired gown to the event. I thought it was really like a nice touch.
Totally. When I saw her accepting, I was like, what is she wearing? Then I was like, oh, costume design. This makes sense. I'm glad that she like went for it.
And I loved Emma's speech.
Emma Stone seems like a genuinely sweet person. And you hear the hesitance in my voice because someone's going to DM us and be like, actually, she spit in my face and put a cigarette on me.
We
Cigarette
don't
out
want
on
to
me.
listen. Listen, certain things are, we don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about her.
Curious if like award show season, for me personally, it's been since COVID, since like the COVID Oscars or whatever, where they like delivered them to their door. I don't know. It's just like Oscars for some reason is like the worst out of all the award shows for me.
Yeah, it is probably my least. It's the one that I look forward to the least. I'm a Golden Globes girl.
Same, because they like it's fun.
Because it's literally fun. And I like the setup of them being at like dinner tables too. Like seeing them interact and hang out and like eat and get drunk and stuff is like, it just feels less stuffy.
Totally. Know who I want to host? Adi Bryant.
Oh my God, little baby 80, she would be amazing. She would be
She
great.
hosted the Spirit Awards, and I just saw a clip of it, and she's like, you know, you're supposed to razz people up, Natalie Portman, you stupid bitch. Like, that's so funny.
Her and Nicole Byer would be funny together hosting. You know, like a new generation Tina and Amy vibe.
Totally.
I'm gonna say something controversial.
No way.
Yeah. No, this is shocking to most. How do I say this? John Cena is giving casting couch daddy to me. Like he is giving just it's giving casting couch vibes to me.
He's built like an actual G.I. Joe or something, like an actual Ken doll. Like if he didn't have like a dick, I wouldn't be if it was just smooth, I would believe it.
Just a smooth mound.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's giving me like ch almost like Channing Tatum casting couch vibes.
I
Like
feel
it's
like worse.
yeah, actually worse. Actually worse. Yeah. It's like, do you ever not appear naked? Is the
Ugh.
joke ever not that you're just nude?
That you're like muscular and silly.
Yeah.
We have that. We have Dwayne the Rock Johnson. That's enough.
And that movie that he has coming out with Zach is just, it's giving Muhammad Al Turkey funded down. Like it is giving Muhammad Al Turkey casted the movie, paid for the production, and set up the recording schedule. Like it is just, it's high whore casting couch to me. I'm just saying.
And I can't wait to watch every second of it.
Me too. And be put off by Zach's new face. Because that'll never not be a thing for me.
Well, is there any way the Oscars can get better? I don't know. I think it's just a ceremony that is what it is.
I actually do think it could with better hosts. If 80 was like, imagine if she was hosting that night. Like, it would be
I guess,
great.
yeah, I guess I would have actually wanted to watch if 80 was hosting, or even like a lot of people are now saying Kate McKinnon. If anyone other than like the usual people host, put some women hosting because they're funny.
Funny women, basically. No more white male comics or even black at this point. I don't want any male comics. I just want women to host the show. Like, You know what I mean? It would just be a nice change of energy.
It's about time. We haven't had one since like Tina, or did Amy Schumer host once?
Amy did, yeah.
Well.
So that. But yeah, I just really quickly before we ended, I just want to say that Lindsay Lohan, we are truly in the Lohanessence, if you will. It's actually happening.
Listen, I know that this is where Troy and I don't agree with things, but I am so happy Lindsay Lohan is doing well, and I need to know everything about her and Ayesha Curry's friendship.
I'm telling you, if I was her manager, right, there's no better time right now than to strike at this moment. I don't know who her surgeon is, but oh my God, Lindsay Lohan looks honestly the best that she has probably looked in 20 years. She looks 19 years old. Like she really looks like a movie star. So if anybody doesn't know, she was at the premiere for Irish Wish, and it was like jaw-dropping. Like it was actually jaw-dropping how gorgeous she looked. And I just think like Zach and I will often like sit and like fantasize about what we want for Lindsay's career. And my current dream for her is to do like a really gritty movie where she plays a cigarette mom,
Ooh.
because she is a mother now, and it would be she, I feel like she could pull those emotions. Like imagine her playing like a white trash 80s cigarette mom in like a gritty drama.
She plays like the mom from 8 Mile.
Literally, yes. Yeah. Like I just need a scene of her kicking her no good for nothing asshole's kid out while she's smoking, you know?
That would be good, but I don't know. I feel like she doesn't want to do anything serious. Or maybe she hasn't been offered it. We don't know.
It doesn't seem like she does. She wants to just do fucking Christmas movies for Netflix and Walmart commercials and shit. And I'm like, can we get like some acting from you again? Like a real movie, in the words of Harry Styles.
That would be beautiful.
It'd be nice.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to rate, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your enemies, all those fun things.
We love you. Beyond words, we just couldn't even begin to find them. And we cannot wait to see you here again next week.
Bye.
Bye.